Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jenny, and
Elora.
We both attend Laytonville High School. Today our topic is youth and the media. Here we are, youth speaking on public radio, being part of the media. We are happy to do this and know that many listeners look forward to our shows. And because this is a non-commercial radio, we will not take a break every 15 minutes to deliver you to an advertiser. We are able to do this because listeners like you support this broadcast by becoming members of KZYX. So please consider becoming a member if you have not already done so. You can join on the website kzyx.org or by calling 895-2324 during normal business hours. Today, we will discuss what types of media young people use for entertainment, information, and education. The sources of media are always changing. We have grown up with computers and the internet rapidly becoming the primary source for much of what radio, television, and newspapers used to deliver. iPods, smartphones, and netbook computers have made it possible to always have the newest media wherever you are. As a result, newspapers are in a serious decline, except for their presence on the internet. The ability of search engines to find stories from many news sources is pretty amazing for information gathering. And the news will be posted right after it happens. Newspaper editorials have been supplemented by endless numbers of blogs, which are often interactive. In a similar way, radio has been declining in use over the last few decades. Clearly, in rural areas like Mendocino County, radio is still very popular. But in a recent interview, Michael Harrison, publisher of Talk Radio's leading job trade journal, spoke about the future of radio. Quote, "You've got competition from cable television, and you've got iPods and podcasts and iTunes. You've got satellite radio. And you have the internet, which is changing everything. The baby boomers grew up with radio. Radio personalities meant something in their life. They know how to use a radio. Many kids don't even have radios. The biggest problem facing radio is that the younger generation doesn't think of it as an institutional component of day-to-day life. AM/FM radio has about 5 good years left, if that. And what we consider to be radio today will be on the internet. And the internet websites will be media stations," end quote. Young people here in Mendocino County do listen to some radio, especially if their parents do, but not as much as our parents did when they were our age. Before we were born, television was extremely limited to our rural communities. Satellite dishes have changed that, making the most remote homestead capable of receiving endless channels of clear television reception. Most youth in this area have television at home. They don't have to watch it, but many do. Our generation began about the same time that the internet became available to the general public. Computers and the web are an integral part of most of our lives, along with cell phones and texting. As I mentioned before, much of our media has shifted to being delivered via the internet. We get most of our music through downloading, use social networking tools like MySpace and Facebook, and get our news and research our homework online. I am taking 2 courses at Mendocino College through the web as well. Many young people play games and watch homemade videos through sites like YouTube. The trend towards the internet as the so-called information highway is quite a ways down the road already. We will begin this show by talking about where we find our media and our relationship with the web, television, radio, newspapers, and magazines. Then we will speak a bit about what we have learned from media literacy. Media literacy can be defined as the ability to interpret and create personal meaning from the hundreds of verbal and visual symbols we take in each day, through all the aforementioned media sources, and especially advertising. It is the ability to choose and select, the ability to challenge and question, and the ability to be conscious about what's going on around you and not be passive or vulnerable. To become media literate is not to memorize facts or statistics about the media, but rather to raise the right questions about what you are reading, watching, or listening to. When we open the phone lines in 20 minutes or so, we would like to hear from you about your relationship with the media, living in a rural, relatively remote area. How does media influence your life? If you have children, do you make a conscious effort to inform them on the ways of which the media attempt to manipulate them? Elora, what types of media do you use in your daily life?
Well, living in a very remote area, I don't have TV, and we don't even have phone lines where I live, so it is very hard to get outside information when I'm at home. But just this year, we actually have internet, so usually I try to get my information usually off the web, or not if from friends. My friends usually, or family even, helps me understand stuff that's going around the world. Jenny, I know that people in our town, we have a rural newspaper, it's called The Observer, and I know most small communities do, but what do you think helps our community in The Observer, like just the regular news?
I think as far as just, like, I like how, you know, you can find, you know, it's neat that we have The Observer, and a lot of information is based around our schools. Like, I know that a lot of the information in newspapers are about school events and sports and anything local and just people's opinions. And I think that it's nice that there's always, like that local area where you can have news about, like, you know, what's going on locally. Because to me, that's one of the most important things. Like, you know, because it's affecting you directly, it's more important to me in a way than, like, you know, what's going on in the world. Because the world, and, like, globally, it's just so far out there. But for me, like, local stuff, what's going on, you know, in Laytonville and Mendocino County is really important. What about you, Elora?
Well, I know that I usually try to know what's going on in the world, but usually I get really caught up in what's going on just around where we live. But I think that when I listen to the radio with my parents and stuff, there's a show called Democracy Now, and that really helps you just understand what's going around, like, during the war and just what's going on for children, at least. And usually you don't get much information if you're not just, like, with your parents when they're, like, reading newspapers and talking about it. But in our newspaper, it is definitely more based for people, just our family members who do talk about the events with their kids. It helps them find out what's going on with the schools. Like, I know there was a football game this week, and it helps – also shows the scores and who won, and it helps our community be really involved in the school. I know we picked out some magazines before the show, and we were just looking at all the different media and all the advertisement they had in there, and we were looking at this one, and it was a Ralph Lauren, and they had nothing on the page besides these people, and they looked very, very sophisticated, and they were not really modeling anything of the product, except they had one bag that was just for that, but everything else was very, it just made you want to have it just to be like royalty. And it's just the things media does just to make you want to be so powerful, and I don't know, just makes you want to be higher in life. They just try to force you into getting what you want and paying for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and we were talking about this before the show, how, like, that one single, you know, advertisement has these people dressed, like, one guy dressed like royalty on a horseback, and, like, on horseback, and, you know, his wife or girlfriend, whatever, standing beside him, like, dressed in this really pretty, like, gown. But it's awkward because you're thinking, like, you know, normal people don't dress like that, so who is that, what's that advertisement really focused, like, on or focused to, like, who are they making that advertisement for? Like, I don't know, normal people wouldn't be dressed like that. And so it's kind of like advertisements are off in their own little fantasy world. Like, you know, maybe if you buy this Ralph Lauren purse, you'll become one of these people and become, you know, royalty or just really fancy. And it's just funny.
I know most of the magazines today, like Vanity Fair and Cosmo and even the Rolling Stones, it's more based on youth, like youth music and youth clothing. You don't really see much anything in these kind of magazines for older people. You find that mostly newspapers and on the radio. They try to press more like buying things for children and youth because the parents wouldn't even like look at this stuff. They'd like try to put it into the kid's mind to ask your parents to get this for you. Like when you look at the cover of a magazine, you say, oh, I want to be just like her. I want to wear all these kind of clothes. The parents think, oh, well, do you really need this? And the kids are just like, yes, we do, because we see it everywhere else. And you do see lots of famous people wearing and like buying all this stuff, and you just want to be just like them. But you have to know that these people are given this stuff because they want people to buy these things and to be advertised just so that the companies have a way to publicly display all their wares and everything for youth to see.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a good tactic that the advertisements use. Like, you know, looking at this cover, I have this Glamour magazine in front of me. There's a picture of Miley Cyrus on the cover, and, you know, she's modeling some kind of, like, what is that? Like,
I don't know.
A white t-shirt with, like, diamonds on it or something. Like, and it's really, that's really neat because, I mean, it's so that when people look at this magazine, they're thinking, like, oh, it's Miley Cyrus. Like, you know, Hannah Montana, I want to be just like her. And as opposed to, like, a normal person standing there with a white t-shirt and diamonds, like, you're thinking, like, oh, that's just a normal person. Like, who cares? And it really attracts your attention, like, and you would want to buy that magazine more than, you know, anything.
Yeah. There's also these, like, beauty things in these magazines. They're, like, telling you how you can be beautiful, or when everyone knows you can't really buy beauty. You just, everyone is beautiful in their own way. Like, it's like, your hair will be so much more beautiful if you use this shampoo instead of this shampoo, when all in all it is just shampoo altogether. It's all just the same stuff. And I know, it just pops in your brain to look for different brands that are more famous. Like, I know when I go shopping, I see all these brand names, and because everyone's wearing them, I'm like, oh, I should be wearing them too. But really, you don't have to, because they do have just the same clothes everywhere else. A t-shirt in Abercrombie is the same t-shirt as it is in The Gap, or in just a thrift store even, because it is just the same picture even, probably. You could just find it from the year before. Mm-hmm. In these magazines, they have lots and lots and lots of advertising for makeup. And it's just showing you that people try to look more beautiful by putting on all this makeup, when really it's just disguising who you really are. And it's just showing, they're just putting it towards youth and trying to get them to be very glamorous and more put out there when you don't really need to be.
You know, a big thing about media is that it changes, like, over the decades. It changes over the centuries, you know. Like, right now, there's this fear of, like, the radio, you know, disappearing, as I mentioned in the intro, like, after 5 or 6 years, because youth aren't directed towards the radio. Like, that was kind of like, you know, in my parents' age, or, like, the baby boomers, where they would listen to the radio, and now we've got internet and TV and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so it's kind of like each generation has their own, you know, way of getting media. And Ilara, do you think that in the future, what do you think is going to be the main way of getting media in the future? Like, information?
I definitely do think internet is becoming way more popular, just because it is more readily available everywhere, pretty much. Like, you can even get internet on your phones and get it in Wi-Fi anywhere you want. Mm-hmm. They even have new radio shows like Pandora and LastFM.com online, just so that you can just listen to straight music. When you're just listening to new music, you forget really where the old music came from. Like, you don't listen to many people like Bob Marley and Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones and those kind of people that our parents and grandparents grew up listening to. And you really miss out on the roots of the music you're listening to now.
You know, what's funny, what we were thinking about was, like, you know, right now our parents are, like, you know, afraid that the radio is gonna, you know, is just gonna disappear. But when Ilara and I are grown-ups, or, like, when we're in our 50s and 60s, like, and we're listening to our iPods, it's gonna be funny, because we're gonna be, you know, thinking, like, oh, you know, this is so cool and so new, and, like, our kids are gonna be listening to some weird, you know, source of entertainment that we don't even know about. And it's just funny how the media and, like, information, like, the internet, it just changes so rapidly that, like, you really can't stop it.
I mean, I know computers haven't even been around that long. Like, the laptop has only been on for, like, what, the last 15 years even? There was no laptops before then, and now it's like everyone has one. And you'll walk around and people will just be, like, carrying them with them. No one even, like, thinks that, oh, wow, we have such a luxury now that we didn't have before. And it is true that most newspapers are, like, falling because of the internet. And I know that, like, everyone usually has their community newspaper, and that's really good, even for youth, because you do know what's going on. And most youth don't even, like, listen to the radio anymore because they have their iPods and they have their phones and they're always texting and they don't really get what's going on in the world.
So, Elora, I know you listen to the local news on the radio. What stations do you usually listen to?
Well, usually every morning and when we come home from school, my parents usually listen to KMUD. I usually like it. My favorite show on there is the Coconut Wireless because they do play very fun music. I like to usually listen to them just because it is new to me, and I like listening to music, and my parents like it because there are a lot of informative things there. I know that, Jenny, you are from China, and you have family still there, and what kind of radios and what do they focus on a lot in their media?
I know that, like, basically radio is same as it is in America, where it's like the older generations are listening to the radio. I know my grandma, she listens to the radio every morning, and it's funny because all the grandparents listen to the same radio station every morning, and that's basically where they get their source of information, and the radio does influence them a lot. Like, my grandma gets all her information from the radio. Like, I know on the radio they have these sites where they, or yeah, these shows where they tell my grandparents, like, you know, when you're going out to go to do Tai Chi in the morning, you're supposed to, you know, stretch your arms out and walk, like, quickly so that your heart gets pumping before you do your Tai Chi, or, you know, you're not supposed to eat bananas on an empty stomach or apples, like, right before you go to bed. And they do take it really seriously because, you know, that's what, you know, the radio is, like, their source of information, and they do take it really seriously. And I see, you know, that's pretty similar how it is in America, where, you know, we are influenced a lot by the media. But in China also, that's just the older generations that listen to the radio. The younger generations, they watch TV, they have iPods, you know, newspapers, and so it's pretty similar.
Dan was telling us how, like, in China, they people are saying that teens are getting addicted to the internet, and that they're actually making these camps for the teens to go to that make them quit being addicted. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's, you know, pretty similar, like, all over the world. I'm sure that, you know, the internet is really addicting, and, you know, like Facebook and MySpace, I know people who spend hours and hours on Facebook and MySpace, and it's just hard to break that habit when you're used to it for such a long time. So, yeah, do you have, like, do you find any part of the internet or TV addicting?
I definitely do use Facebook a lot just I do have a lot of friends that, like, you can't even get to hold of them if they aren't on their Facebook. Like, that's the only way you can communicate with them. I know I don't have a phone, but I usually take my parents' phones and I'll, like, text my friends on there. Mm-hmm. And that's usually how I communicate with a lot of people, and it's, you don't really get to communicate with people. Another thing, that we do is we go see movies, and movies are very, you know, when you go to the theater and they always have those commercials that are like, drink the Pepsi at the stand before you go to the movie, and it just, like, really makes you thirsty, and you see that. How often do you go to the movies with friends and family and stuff?
I don't go to the movies very much, and, you know, we watch movies at home, but, you know, I don't know, like, I know, like, on weekends, if I watch the TV and stuff, there's a whole bunch of commercials, like you said, where it's just, but, you know, for me, those are really annoying, because most of them are really, like, mindless. Like, you watch them and you're just, they think for you. They don't, you know, like some, okay, some advertisements are good and stuff, but the majority of the part, I just think that they go overboard and it's just a big turnoff for me.
Yeah. There are some commercials, like, I know there was this one commercial I saw the other day, and it was about how they use these women in Africa, and they're making all these bags for, like, they're really cool bags, and they were based for teens a lot, and I actually really liked them, but it was to help support the women in Africa to, like, mm-hmm. get food and clean water and stuff. And it was really cool, because they do point it more towards people our age to have, like, for them to buy it and help those kind of people. And I think that's smart because the kids should be helping. I think that's a really good way for them to help in community in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you had a good point how, like, a lot of the advertisements are directed towards teenagers. And, you know, like, it's funny. We're looking at this picture right here, and it says Joe Chemo, and it's got the Joe Camel with a scrub on, and he's being hooked up to this machine, and he's walking around, and it is how, like, a lot of the advertisements are focused on, directed towards teens, and, you know, making sure that, you know, the teens are exposed to them, and these ad busters are really, you know, showing the negative side of these advertisements, you know, like how cigarettes can be directed towards teens, and it's just terrible.
Yeah, there's another one here that I was looking about. It's a Nike one, and it's how showing how there's all these children being used for work and like child labor, and it's saying think globally before you decide it's cool to wear Nike. And I don't know it. If you think about it, most people do use Nike and they don't even think about it, but also, not all these people who do work for Nike are in slave labor, but, and, like, they do put kids to slave labor in most companies, and you just don't even hear about it. And to think about it as a teen, to think of someone my age working for $3 a day is, like, unbelievable. You don't even think about that. And these adbusters do show you, like, that advertising is very bad for a lot of kids our age in the world. There's this little McDonald's one, and you know how when you go to McDonald's, they're like, oh, kids' meals have this much less, like, bad stuff in you for them. When you do think about the food, it's just smaller proportion. And for the kids in our, the people our age are going through, and it's like obesity, I can't say it very well. Yeah, but, there's like a huge more population of our teens that are becoming overweight because of the fast food companies, and you don't really go to the farmers markets and the community newspapers and radio shows and everything. They do tell you a lot about how there's fresh foods and different stores that are carrying locally made food and stuff.
So what about, you know, how Michael Jackson died at the end of June, I think? You know, what do you think about how do you feel about the media still covering his death and, like, different parts of his life? I personally feel that they're kind of going overboard. Like, I know that there's more stuff going on, like, out in the world, and, you know, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think that it's very, very sad that he died because he was the Prince of Pop, and, but, like you said, there are a lot more things going on in the world that could be being covered. Like, I know last night I was looking at Google, and you know how the two little O's will show pictures sometimes, and had a little picture of Michael Jackson's feet. And it does just show you that when the media has nothing to talk about, they will just repeat themselves. And how they do even make up stuff sometimes just to sell you something or prove that they are still, like, there and stuff like that. Like, even, they have a lot of ads in the newspapers and magazines and stuff that are just the same as they were a couple months ago. They just, like, added a new dress or a new book, but they look exactly the same.
So what about media at school? Like, I know that we were talking about this earlier, how we how a lot of classes, they use media to, you know, get through to the kids. Like, I know that it's really handy now because I take a couple classes at Mendocino College, and it's so much easier because I get to take them online, and it's just, it is really easy to have all this, you know, like the internet and stuff like that, so I don't need to drive there every day or whatever. And, you know, there's also, like, I know in history class we use a lot of documentaries, and it does really help because you get to, you know, a lot of the time you have interviews and, you know, that kind of stuff where normally you wouldn't be able to get, like, you know, a survivor of the Holocaust to come to our school and talk. And so you have these documentaries and interviews, and it really does help. Do you feel that it helps during school and, like, in history class or...
I know that we have a really small school, mm-hmm. and there are a couple kids that do have overlapping classes. Like, if they took English this year, they wouldn't be able to do history. So we do have a program. It's called Cyber High, and it is really helpful for those kids so that they are able to get the full education that they need to that is required for them to graduate the next year or the next couple of years. And there, I know in one class, Jenny, you were saying how the teacher uses lots of videos to show, like, because I'm doing world history this year, and it'll show us, like, all the things that have happened, like Columbus and all the new things that, or old things that went on in the world just that have happened over the time in our history. Mm-hmm. Also, we have this one teacher. He's really cool. He's our biology teacher. He shows, like, tiny, because really you can't really see microscopic things, and so he'll have a video or a little show on how, like, a little egg embryo will grow, and it really helps you understand what kind of projects and everything you're doing. And there is a lot of very tiny things in a lot of your classes, like science and history, that you need that kind of stuff to see everything at once when you can't really see it.
Yeah. You know, I think we do learn a lot from the TV, and it's not all bad. You know, you can go on the TV and, or you can, you know, look at the TV and, you know, a lot of cooking shows, like, if you want to learn how to cook, or, like, the History Channel, and there are a lot of good parts about TV, that I think sometimes, like, the negative parts and, like, people's perspective, like, you know, TV is molding people's minds, and, you know, but there are a lot of good parts about the TV that people don't, you know, always see because of all the negative stuff that's coming from.
I definitely do think there is a lot of more educational channels like Animal Planet, and you're saying World in the History Channel, that you could be watching instead of saying like Nickelodeon or the Sci-Fi Channel. These shows are really educational for people, especially if you're doing a, like, say there's a show on about anteaters and you're doing a report on anteaters, and it's just really helpful to understand how anteaters live, and you get to see it up close when you wouldn't really get to see them moving or doing interacting or anything on in a book or stuff like that. You just get to see the, like, whole life of the animal.
So do you think that your parents' media habits shape yours or your peers and friends?
I definitely do, because my parents do listen to the radio before school and after school, and so I just get into the habit of listening to it with them, and I do learn a lot from that. And I wouldn't have a Facebook or anything if my friends weren't on there, because they're who I talk to it through. And so they definitely are why I have one, and the way I talk to them through that. Yeah. I know that there's a lot of people who don't have even access to the internet, but still text and talk, and they just learn that way through that also.
I definitely think that texting is one of, you know, a really good thing that's happened to us. You know, before, when it just came out, it was free, and then people started realizing how much money they could make off of texting. But it is something that's really convenient. Like, you know, if you don't need to call, you can just quickly text someone. Or I think that, you know, if you don't abuse texting, it really does help in a lot of ways. So do you feel that the media aims to serve you or just deliver you to the advertisers?
It depends on what media you're actually using. There can be media like, say, magazines that just have pages and pages and pages of Marc Jacobs and Yves Saint Laurent just clothing and advertising for their company. But there are also articles in the magazines, like, about directors and new movies that are coming out that are, like, you really like to know that kind of stuff. They just put all the different ads in there that help pay for the magazine, the printing and all the ink and paper and stuff. And it's not that you look at all of it, but they do put it in there just to, like, the most, like, extravagant ads. You always catch your eye and you just like looking at them just because they're so out there and different that you just get so caught up in the world of looking so glamorous and so colorful and different.
You know, I think that a lot of these magazines are pretty vain. Like, you know, there's people in, you know, modeling for, you know, pages and pages and pages of this magazine, or people modeling, you know, different brands and stuff. But I think that they also have good points. Like, there's this one page, it says, "The New Truths About Skin Cancer," and it's telling, informing women, like, you know, how to protect yourself and how to know if you've got, like, you know, skin cancer. Or, and I think that it's neat how they have a nice balance of things in these magazines because, you know, this stuff is important too, but also, you know, protecting yourself and, you know, different letters, and it, you know, it's nice to have that happy medium.
Yeah, and learning as a kid to protect yourself, to, like, wear sunscreen and wear a hat in the sun will keep you from getting skin cancer when you get older. And they do focus that more towards younger people, and your parents do tell you and talk to you about wearing sunscreen. And I know I don't listen to that a lot. Until I got older, my nose kept getting really red, and so I didn't like to look like Rudolph all the time. But my, it is very important to keep your skin protected, and I know most kids prefer not to have to wear a hat all the time, but it is very helpful for your skin and everything.
Yeah. So we are going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call. Please call if you have ideas about the media and youth. Is the advent of the internet a good thing for us young people? If you think so, what are the advantages over the times when it doesn't exist? If you don't think so, what is negative about the so-called information highway? If you are a parent, do you monitor the quantity and quality of what your children look at on their computers? If you live without television, could you explain why you do? Do you think that our public radio stations serve the young people in our community as well? Are you media literate? Should there be classes in high school to teach youth to see between the lines of advertising and the news? Please call 456-9991. Your ideas and opinions are very important. How does media influence your life? If you have children, do you make conscious effort to inform them of the ways in which the media attempts to manipulate them? Have you found that the internet has improved your ability to understand the world? Please call in and be a part of this conversation. Our goal is to involve the community in a dialogue that we can all learn from. Do you wish that the internet had been around when you were in high school? Have you found ways to become part of the media by posting things on the web? What do you think the state of the media will be in 5 years, about 10 years? The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call in and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. And caller, you're on the air.
Hello, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Hey, great show.
Thank you.
Some thought-provoking ideas about marketing, beauty, brainwashing, and the media. You two are right on about marketing and advertising. And I hope
Thank you.
Keep thinking this deeply all your life. I do have a couple criticisms and some questions. Myself, I've been a newspaper man for more than 25 years. And I take exception to the premise that newspapers were destroyed by the internet. I think newspapers destroyed newspapers. Everybody says that, of course, but I just don't think it's true. Newspapers could have developed professional quality news, but they were owned by corporate owners that simply didn't want to pay their workers and didn't want to make their product viable and important to people. So newspapers kind of stunk and people left. But I think it still could and it could certainly could have at one time been an incredible and valuable resource. and I think this is, I have a point to this, just give me a second. Mm-hmm. I also quarrel with your statement that radio is on the way out. I hope not, because as a reporter, I've worked several disasters and seen radio save thousands of lives. In one case, actually, no exaggeration. When a disaster happens, the power goes out, and you have no internet, no TV. And so some news, some of our sources just have to stick around, in my view. In addition, newspapers and radio offer a high quality of news. In most cases, much better as far as quality than internet blogs, because those represent one person's agenda, usually. And I'm wondering, you two are obviously real thinkers. Maybe let me close here by a couple of questions, and I'll take my answers on the air. How can your generation learn from the failures of newspapers and radio to provide quality news? And where do we get the kind of news that's real professionals, the people get paid to go and find out, rather than from somebody with an agenda? Do you think people on the web are aware of the quality of the news they're getting there? And is it okay that viable news sources like radio and newspapers that are important to us are failing simply because they don't show an immediate profit? Do you guys have any ideas for a better way?
Well, I definitely...
Thanks for a great show, and I'll take my answers off air.
Okay, thank you. Well, with the last caller, I definitely do believe that not all the news on the internet is true, because they are able to fabricate it, because it isn't really, it doesn't even have to be a true story. Like, I know there's a, what is it? There's a dictionary thing, and anybody can just go on there and write a definition. So you can even go in there, and it wouldn't even be a real definition for your homework, and you'd get a false credit for your homework.
Yeah. I think that, you know, the caller had a really good point, how, like, it's really easy to, that kind of stuff, you know, saying false things on the internet. The week that Michael Jackson died, there were stories about how Britney Spears had died, how Natalie Portman had died, how George Clooney had died. And, you know, it's so easy to get that stuff put on the internet because, like the caller said, individuals can go on the internet and, you know, quickly type up something. Whereas newspapers, you know, they are a bit more trustworthy because it takes time to do that kind of stuff, and it's not one individual, you know, going on the internet, you know, thinking it's a funny joke, you know, typing that kind of stuff. I really do hope that that radio never, you know, is forever, you know, gone. I think it's really something that's important, and you know, a big question is how can we get the youth involved in radio again, and for them to feel that radio is something important. You know, there are a lot of kids who said, you know, maybe if the radio is played more, like modern music or something, they would become more interested. But for me personally, radio is something that's been going on for such a long time that I really enjoy listening to, you know, oldies and that kind of music. And if the radio were to put out, you know, hip hop or rap, for me, it would be a big turnoff because I'm so used to that, you know, the music from like 60s and 70s. So I don't know.
I also definitely agree with the whole radio thing. It is a really good way. If the power does go out, you can just go out in your car, turn on the radio and hear what's going on if there is a disaster, and find out where everyone's meeting to talk and like to be close together, because it is definitely better to be with a whole bunch of people than it is to be stuck out by yourself, say on a hill. Like me, I live far away from everyone, so it would be definitely very helpful if you would able to be able to be on the radio and know where there are people who can help you and just be closer to people so you're not all alone.
Mm-hmm. So for callers, please call in. Our phone number is 456-9991. Do any of you guys see a future in newspapers, you know, the next 20 or 30 years? What about the radio? And do you have any ideas how the youth can get more involved in radio and newspapers? Please call in.
Jenny, the caller was talking about how the newspaper is definitely being, well, this is how I took it, is I definitely think the newspapers are very still alive and that they are very helpful in our community. What do you think about them?
I love them so much because it's nice how, you know, we were talking about this a bit before, how locally you can get all the news and, you know, different stuff that's going on. I really like newspapers because they're so local, like you can read about them, and it's something where you know, if we lived in a bigger city, you know, we'd still have the newspaper, but we wouldn't have that closeness. Like, you know, you wouldn't be reading about something and directly feel affected by it. Like, you know, when we read about the sports teams, you know, winning or losing at Laneville High School, you feel so happy if they win because, you know, you're like, oh, you know, that's a part of our really close community. And, you know, you feel happy for them. Whereas if you lived in this big city, you know, and there's like 5 or 6 high schools, you know, if one of them wins, if it's not your school, you're just kind of like, oh, you know, good for them or something. But I love our newspaper in Laneville because there's this really, like this closeness about it.
It's community.
Yeah.
I always like the, whenever there's a New York Times, I like to read it and know what's going on at other places just because it is really nice to know, like, that the New York Yankees are winning or something like that. And there's always, I think, a really cool part about Sunday newspapers for kids, even younger kids, is the comics. Mm-hmm. That used to always be my favorite part of the newspaper when I was really little. But once I got older, you do understand what's going on in the newspaper and you are able to read it more and just get more out of the words and everything on the newspaper of all the people.
Yeah. What do you feel about the violence that you see in all the media? And, you know, what do you think about, you know, this was in 2002. What about, the case with Daniel Pearl? Are you familiar with?
I'm not. What was it?
The journalist who went, oh, I forgot what country it was. Syria? I can't remember what country it was, but where he was killed because he was an American journalist, and they showed it on the internet. On the internet and on the TV, and like right before it, they had this big long message that says, you know, if kids are in the room or if you get upset easily, please leave. And then they showed the beheading of him, and it was just, oh, it was so disturbing. And what do you feel about that? Do you think that the media has the right to show those kind of images, or do you think that it's something that's so terrifying that they should keep that off air?
Well, I think that they should have certain, like, stations that they are able to do that parents are able to block what goes on the TV and what doesn't for mm-hmm. especially, like, really young kids. That's not really appropriate, I don't think, for them, because it is really young kids and that is disturbing for them sometimes, and it can give them nightmares and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But also, I know that a couple years ago, a rated R movie was, like, just violence and sexual stuff like that. But nowadays, there's a lot more of that in PG-13 movies and PG movies. Mm. Like, the rating seems to have gone way down. Like, they let a lot more in for younger kids. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. Like, I know I like to see scary movies, but all the time, that's not really a good thing for some kids that may be very affected by that. They might go out and try some of these things, and that's not always the best thing for younger kids who are very emotionally unbalanced or something.
I think that in a lot of ways, like, scary movies are really terrifying, and they could scar you for life. I saw one of the Saw movies, and, you know, they have, like, what is it, Saw 5 now? Mm-hmm. Got Saw 1, Saw 2, Saw, it just goes on forever. But, you know, they're all about torture devices, and, you know, it's so scary to think that, like, a 5-year-old could be watching this movie at home and just absorbing all these things and just be like, ah, you know, what's going on? But, you know, it is scary because you're thinking, is this really necessary for, you know, is this productive for our culture? Like, you know, is this just, like, really hurting our culture? Like, couldn't these kids be watching something else? Like, not as violent or,
yeah.
Like, it's neat that, like now, you know, a lot of us can, like, you know, like, Laura and I can watch this movie and not be affected by it, but what about kids that are, you know, like Laura said, like, disturbed in a way, and then they watch these movies and they're just like, oh, you know, that's a good idea or something, and it's just not really productive or, you know, ethical to be watching these kind of things if you could go out and do the same thing.
And to our callers, are you media literate? Should there be classes in high school to teach youth to see between the lines? Ooh, I think we agree with that one. Oops. What was I going to say?
So, you know, like, on TV and stuff, how they have these advertisements, like, oh, there's one of them. It's like a sponge that can do, like, wonders. Like, I don't know. Oh, it's like a ShamWow or something. Like, do you really believe everything that they're talking about? Like, a lot of the stuff is, you know, like, what about these anti-aging creams? Like, you know, it's on air and, like, you're thinking, like, oh, this thing is really neat and stuff, but do you think that a lot of it is just the media manipulating you, or, you know, do these things really work?
I bet some of them work. Like, I know, we got this, I don't know, it's like a mopish cleaning thing for hardwood floors, and that really works really well. But, I know, me and my friend Shannon, we got this face cleaner thing. It's called the Wave, and it doesn't really do it much, but clean your face the same as, like, a napkin would with soap. And so, it's not really that much different. And so, they do usually just try to sell you things by telling you that they do much bigger things than they really do.
Yep. So, you know, we were talking about this a bit before the show again. Oh, once again, the phone number is 456-9991. We've only got 14 minutes left, so please call in. We'd love to ask you questions. We'd love to hear your opinions and ideas.
We really like everyone who calls in and participates in our radio show. Thanks a lot to everyone who has.
Thank you. So what do you think about the money that's spent in advertising? How much money is it for a page in, I don't know, Vanity Fair?
I'm guessing, me and my mom talked about this a while ago, I bet it's between $10,000 and $30,000 just for one page of a dress and a couple of pairs of shoes just to show in your magazine.
Yeah.
And the cover is probably worth, like, I don't know, $60,000 to $100,000 just to put a picture of your boy band on top of the magazine.
And the funny thing is that, you know, these issues come out, what is it, monthly? And, you know, you're going to have this in the store, like, on the rack for, like, a month, and it's gone. You know, and that money, that $60,000, you know, it could be spent somewhere else. Like, we were looking through a magazine, it had 20 pages of advertisements. Probably 10 of them were of the same company or brand. And, you know, that's, like, what is it? If it's, like, 10,000 a page, that'd be, like, if you had six pages, like, $60,000 worth of advertisements, and could it be spent somewhere else?
Yes, it definitely could be spent on more. I know our education for our students is not the best in right now, obviously, because we don't have that many supplies. Like, I know I went to go do a project in my teacher's class last year, and she didn't even have any colored paper and anything like that. And the media definitely could be, like, spending 10% of their profits or 20% of their profits on education, because it is the low in our in the United States right now.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I don't know, the covers for these are definitely very out there. Like, they aren't even the most, they aren't, I know this one says young, gorgeous, and regression proof. I don't even know what that means. Like, most kids don't even know what this stuff means. It's just, you just look at the pictures and you're just like, oh, I just want to be just like her, just like him, and stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen this movie. It's 13 Going on 30. And a big part of that movie was this lady, and she was trying to think of ways to get her community and her city, like, involved in this news, in this magazine that she was working on, I think. And so she had, instead of models and, you know, who was that, Jessica Simpson on the cover, she would have, like, the neighbor or the next door, like, lady on this magazine. And, you know, do you think do you think that would work? Oh, maybe this caller can answer. Caller, are you? You can call back 456-9991.
Sorry.
didn't catch him.
It's definitely in all these magazines talking about how you have to be very, very skinny, and, like, I know that's very wrong for a lot of kids, because not all kids are, like, the smallest people, and that's not a bad thing. Like, they're all talking about how you call this fat and you must lose weight and stuff like that. And I know not everyone's like that.
So, caller, you on the air?
Hi.
Hi, caller.
I really appreciate your outreach to the community, and I really feel like you guys are stretching the envelope because you're so young and there's just a lot to deal with out there. Mm-hmm. I wanted to tell you about myself a little bit, and that I'm someone who spends a considerable amount of time on the internet researching everything from legal, medical, other kinds of scientific, mythological, you know, anything that comes to my mind. If I want to, you know, find something out, I just can go on the internet. And I think it's, you know, the most tremendous resource for that. Now, when you go on the internet, there's so, it's so vast. There's so much out there. It's like, if you don't focus your attention on something, you can really get scattered. And even if you focus your attention on something, you can find arguments on both sides of almost any issue on the internet. So, it's like, how do you decide? Well, actually, it's a good test for all of us, because on the internet and out in the real world, ultimately we have to decide with our own intelligence and our own wisdom what's true and what's not true. And after you start getting a little bit of experience at doing that, you know, you start seeing that doesn't look for real and turns out it's not for real, or that I think that's real and it turns out to be real, you start to trust your judgment. So one of the things that the internet was definitely going back in 2001 when the so-called terrorist attack happened on 9/11 in New York. Well, on the day that that happened, I heard it on the radio. Actually, it was I think there was an announcement on KZYX, and so I was in Ukiah, and I went over to the television store to watch it on TV, and when I watched the planes fly into the buildings, I mean, it was just like, wow. But then when I watched the buildings fall down, I said, oh, you guys, come on. All right. I know you guys are playing a trick on us, because I used to watch you do that on TV when they had a program called Controlled Demolition on Saturday mornings. And I said, hey, that looks just like the buildings that they blew up on this TV program. And so that was my, and of course, that, conclusion on my part, that, you know, analysis of what happened on my part came after I had been in the U.S. Army. I had done various things in my life that, you know, also gave me some background from which to judge. So at that point, I knew that that wasn't, you know, what they said it was, and I knew it was something else. And when I went onto the internet, then I found all kinds of resources from, building engineers and all kinds of other scientists that just said this couldn't have happened the way that they meaning the mass media that people watch on TV and the newspapers and everything like that. And so there is like the contradiction that everybody has to work out themselves. Because if you can go on the internet, you can get all of this information that says, nope, that's not how it happened. And if you watch TV and the mass media, they'll say, this is what's going on. Now, the latest thing I want to give you guys a heads up about is there's this whole supposedly swine flu epidemic, and they want to vaccinate everybody. Mm-hmm. If you go on the internet, you'll see that there's information there that says that this is a hoax, that the vaccination that they want to give us has not been tested, that it may be fatal to the people who get it. And it may be just a big scheme by the government to, number one, inject us with RFID chips so they can track us, and to be able to eliminate us or kill us with these vaccines. So as young as you are, you've got a lot of urgent things to think about and to deal with. So I wish you luck.
Thank you. Oh, and we have a question. Do you think that the conspiracy theories add more clarity to the news or more confusion? So were you, did you feel that the terrorist attacks were more believable on the radio before you actually, you know, saw what was happening or after?
Well, the radio just made this announcement that the plane had, flown into the building. Well, and true, your question means that anytime you hear something on the radio, you go, well, all you know, all you heard was that something happened. You didn't see it. But even if you saw it, and here's an argument that they bring up on the Internet, that even the footage that they showed on TV wasn't necessarily what happened, because they could just, you know, tie in some footage that they have. They can even digitally produce things and put them on the TV, and you wouldn't know because they're so similar to, you know, like a live shot. So whenever you see something, you really can't even believe your eyes when you see something. I saw the building go down, and so I don't know what hit the building. They may not necessarily have been planes, but I saw the building go down, and I know that the building couldn't go down by those planes because a third building went down, which is building number 7, and no planes ever hit that. So you have to not only use all your senses, but you have to, sometimes you have to doubt what you are seeing, because they got Photoshop. They have a lot of ways that they can trick you. So you have to use your mind. That's what education is about. You have to educate yourself so you can tell truth from false.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, yes. Take care.
Well, thank you, bye. Caller. And caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jeff Wright on the Mendocino Coast. And I think actually that the medias all enhance each other. We were told that video would kill the radio star, and now MTV is just that. It's a big MTV. There's no music television, or virtually none, on music television anymore. It's all so-called reality shows, which are the most unreal things I've ever seen, on stuff about who cares about what someone else is doing. Reality TV, to me, is what you were talking about, the person who got beheaded, and we're more worried about watching something like that than we are about Jason with his hockey mask chainsawing people up for entertainment in something that's fake, when we should be watching what people are actually doing. And yeah, it's terrible, but I think people need to be aware of what's going on. But I actually believe that most media tend to enhance rather than eliminate each other. For instance, Art Bell, when he was on all the time, and by the way, he's actually going to be on tonight, but Art Bell used to have interactive radio where he would have people go to his website and they would go to pictures and look at things that they were talking about on the radio. But there's advantages to radio where you can have that on while you're getting ready to go to work and not have to be pushing a button for every single thing that you need to do and moving icons and all. You can be listening to that while you're doing something else. So there's different levels of interactiveness. Books don't need batteries. You can always read a book, even if all the electricity went down and there was nothing that was working. And thank God for Dan Roberts and having that ham radio operation that he does, because someday almost everything could go down, and somebody who has a solar-powered ham operation set that could tell us what's going on with the emergencies is going to be able to maybe save the world. And I hope more young people get into ham operations, because you can hear things on the other side of the world, and the way the radio waves work around the planet and the magnetosphere is just fascinating. I know you're up against the clock. I just wanted to leave you with some of those thoughts. I actually think that one builds upon the other if it's done right, and newspapers killing newspapers probably was one of the best things I heard. If you could, before you go out, could you tell us what your source was for the 5 years of the radio death? I suspect maybe it was a blog, and I'll listen to you on the air. Thanks for your program.
Thank you so much, caller. Great points.
I'm pretty sure it was a quote, wasn't it?
Where was it?
It was from...
Oh, here it is. It was a recent interview with Michael Harrison, publisher of Talk Radio's leading trade journal. All right. Thank you, and we will end on that.
That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Elora, and
Jenny.
Thanks to all our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett Studio. You Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with HALT, Healthy Activities for Laytonville Teens. HALT is a project designed by Laytonville's Healthy Start program. The project is creating many alternative activities for teens in our community. For more information, please contact Healthy Start at 984-8089 or visit their website at www.laytonville.org/healthystart.html. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio, including a show from 2003 on media literacy. That's www.youthspeaksout.net. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who have expressed them. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of September, the 27th, at 2 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next month.